chapter 2, 1 through 7, actually. Figured we could read that whole thing, right? Someone? Okay.
And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place when...
Cornelius?
Cornelius?
Isn't that Cornelius?
Quirinius? Was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
So we've heard this story before, right? Every December 25th, we've heard this story. Now, if you grew up in a church, you probably were in a play or two, right? A Christmas Eve play. Like a live donkey?
Like, yeah, he'd be the donkey.
Oh, he would be
the donkey. Yeah, and then, like, me and my sister would, like, ride on his back, and then we'd be going to Bethlehem.
Yeah. That's a neat tradition, right? Something you remember. So, why December 25th?
So, was that the day he was born?
That's the day he was born.
Three wise men came.
Huh?
Or was that the day the three wise men came?
No, I will get to that. But, well, so the Bible clearly doesn't state exact time or date. It doesn't say December 25th. Now, there are historians at that time when the Bible was written. There's other historians. So they wrote other books. And these are non-Christian and also Christian ones. And they do give a little bit more detail in certain aspects. But always, if you looked out throughout history, history actually backs up the Bible. There's a lot of history in the Bible. And it actually talks about, you know, there was a decree, and we can find that out with historians, that there actually was a decree. So the Bible's telling the truth there. And then Quirinius. Yeah, he was the actual governor what was around in that time. So we know this. Now God says to trust the Bible, right? You could trust in the Bible. He doesn't say that the same about every writings. Now, it doesn't mean that they were wrong. It doesn't mean that they're right. It means that we need to study to find out answers, right? We need to look things up. Now, kind of like the internet. You know, it has a lot of information out there, right? It has a lot of good information. But sometimes you could do the same search, and on one site it says, oh, eggs are really good for you. And then right below it, the other site where it says, eggs are horrible for you, too much calories, or cholesterol. Huh?
It's like pizza is a vegetable.
Right. Exactly. So you don't know which ones to believe and which ones not to believe. You know, and also it could be a site which says Jewish people celebrate birthdays. And then there's another one where it says, oh no, they don't celebrate birthdays. Now, I know for sure they actually celebrate at least one birthday, and that's when the boy becomes a man. Or the girl becomes a woman. So I do know they do celebrate that. But there's some questions. And this could be because in the Jewish religion, there's actually different sex. It's not male, female, but sex means that there's different groups that believe different things, have different views on things. Now, the Bible really doesn't talk about celebrating birthdays. Now, there is two mentioned Now, and they're all celebrated by Gentiles, but it doesn't say that it's good or bad to celebrate birthdays. But they don't really seem to be big on birthdays, right? It's not mentioned here that, oh, Jesus was born here or there. So we don't know the exact time or the exact year. Now, we do know that in 2013 AD, so some 300 years after Jesus was born, that Rome made Christianity the official religion, right? Which is kind of crazy if you actually think about it and you actually know the history, is that Rome persecuted the Christians for almost those 300 years, and now it's their major religion, right? It just goes to show that things change, right? And Christianity is changing the world, and it kind of took over the pagan religion, what was the official religion of Rome. Now, later on, after that happened, the Pope, Pope Julius, chose December 25th to be the day. Yes, this is the day Jesus was born. And he said he did the research. Oh, well, you know, Mary and Joseph, Mary was pregnant at this time, did 9 months, and it's like, okay, December 25th. Now, Luke 2, 8 through 14, it's another long one. Anybody want to tackle it? Anyone? Cassia? Thank you.
Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was the angel, a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men."
So this is the continuation, right? Continuation of that Christmas story. And we've all heard this, right? He gave a message to the shepherds while we're out in the field. Now, for years, people have been telling us, or well, been telling me, and I've heard this, is that, oh, well, the shepherds wouldn't be out in the fields during winter. It was too cold. You know, that's typically, you know, and it's more likely, more likely that Jesus was born in the spring or summer, because then they'd be more likely to be out in the fields. Now, all of a sudden, they're changing their tunes, right? Well, what are you going to say, Max? Well, surprisingly, they do get snow, but it is, actually, they say the temperature is more like Tucson, around December in Tucson, which, you know, the desert does get cold. I don't know if you've ever been in the desert, and, you know, it gets, yeah, it has a big temperature range.
Once it gets like 2 o'clock in the morning, you better have a nice sleeping
bag. Right. It does get cold, but you're right. It is Middle East, so it's more like that. So they do get mild winters. Now, they have historically shown that, yes, the shepherds could have very easily been out there in the fields. You know, you think about it, though, you know, sheep don't hibernate. They're not bears. So they have to eat, right? They have to graze. They actually, I mean, pictures even nowadays, they see sheep, they're grazing through snow, trying to find that grass, right? They have to eat. So that argument really doesn't hold up that, oh, well, it was too cold for the shepherds to be out there. Now, in Matthew, it doesn't talk, you know, he doesn't mention shepherds, but he talks about another group of men, which we've already mentioned today. And which group of men are we talking about? What? The wise men, right? The wise men from the east. Now, most manger scenes, and you can see the manger scene back there, most manger scene shows the wise men there with the baby, all, and they came to see the baby, right? And typically, how many is there?
Three,
right? Now, the Bible doesn't tell us how many wise men, but tradition always has it as three. And they actually have names for them. In the Catholics have names, and they actually have January 6th. You know, interesting side note is January 6th over in Europe, and especially in Spain, they have what these wise men and children write letters to them, and they give them gifts. Just, they usually have a beard. Like somebody, I don't know, they have some weird hats. I don't know if they have a Santa hat. What? I'm not sure. I mean, these are wise men. I don't know exactly what they wore, but I just saw pictures. Now, even Marco Polo, everybody's played that game. He was a real person. It's not just a pool game. But he was traveling. He was trying to get to China, trade route, right? We all know this. He actually even, he has writings, and he talks about visiting these three men's tomb. Our tombs. I think they were all buried together, but in his travels. So it could very well be three, but they don't specify that in the Bible, so we don't know for sure. Now, the night Jesus was born, there was something that appeared above them, right above the manger.
A big gas ball exploded in space.
Right, okay, Tumba. Timba. Pumba. Pumba, right? Yes. All right, so this was like the bat signal to these wise men. Right? They say, okay, come be the king of the Jews. Now, they didn't have a VW bug to jump in, and so they could just run over really quick because they're over 500 miles away at that point. Or more likely 500 miles. They actually took around 2 years to get there.
Wow.
So that's come, I mean, for sake, that's dedication, right? Yeah. Yeah, so Jesus wasn't at the manger.
Well, you could just fast travel there.
Yeah. You know, Star Trek, beam me up. But the reason we know this is because of the Bible. The Bible actually, we could find out things through the Bible. The Bible never says that they were there. I don't know, it's just somewhere along the line, tradition has put it in the manger, has us put it in the Christmas play. It's just convenience, I think. But the Bible can be trusted because it says that it took 2 years to get there. Now, I bet those wise men wanted to be there at Jesus' birth. They probably wanted to be there before and watch everything happen. You know, they were probably, yes. But that doesn't change, because they weren't there, that doesn't change the fact that Jesus was born. Right? He was born. Now, back to December 25th. Sorry. For those who say that, oh, that's not Jesus' real birthday. You know, and Christmas started out as a pagan holiday. Now, the facts are, is that there was a Roman festival, Saturnius, or I should have looked up how to pronounce that, but not important because we don't care about that, right? That ran from around the 14th to the 24th. You know, it's the winter solstice. Now, during that time, it was like a week-long party. And what I mean is, there were some very bad things. It wasn't a good party. It wasn't like the party we had last night. It wasn't fun and morally right. It did some very bad things.
I just know, like, back in the day, like, what did slaughtering like pigs.
They had geese,
like,
I'm sure.
What? Oh, you better throw that knife and don't hit me.
Right. They had all kinds of things, but they got into some bad traditions. Now, along with that, there was Christians, brand new Christians, what just came out of paganism. You know, so they're like, oh, well, traditions are traditions. That's just doing it, right? So they were following along with this old tradition. Things that they shouldn't be doing, especially if they're following Christ. Now, commonly believed, this is what most people believed, is the church chose December 25th in an effort to give the another choice, another avenue to go down. Not do that, but to do something more focused on Jesus. Right? Things started to change from Mardi Gras to family values, right? Yeah, right. So there are some traditions still today, and I will give that to him. There's still some traditions today that did come from pagan traditions. They do. The Christmas tree is probably one of them, probably one of the most common one. So bringing a tree into the house, it was a symbol of hope. It was during winter, right? So it's really warm outside, it's balmy, right? Or is it really cold? It was really cold, kind of gloomy, kind of trees are dead because they don't have leaves. They're not actually dead, they're dormant. And then grass, everything green is just dead, right? It can be very depressing, right?
Also, like, during that time, like, it'd be hard to get food during winter, too.
Right, right, exactly. You don't really have work, you can't go outside. You could go out and shovel the neighbor's yard, right? Yeah.
And if it gets cold, you can chop it down and burn it
fire. So without hope, it could be very depressing during winter, right? Especially back then. They didn't have heat unless they went out and chopped wood, right? So bringing a green tree in was a way for them to look at, oh, I hope spring is coming soon. Because isn't that beautiful? Now, spring, you know, that's where life is renewed for nature, right? You know, there's baby animals prancing around, grass is turning green, flowers are popping up, the sun, Bambi, Tilda Hunters. Now, to me, Jesus is our tree of life, right? He is our hope. Now in Jeremiah 10, verse 2 and 4, can you read that?
Maybe. Thus says the Lord, do not learn the way of the Gentiles, do not be dismayed at the sign of heaven, for the Gentiles are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are futile. For one cuts a tree from the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen. With the axe. They decorate it with silver and gold. They fasten it with nails and hammers so that it will not topple.
For some, they use this to argue against Christmas trees, right? And it doesn't sound good from just that little verse, right? Or is it me? Does that sound like anything we do? But if we read the whole chapter, it's what they're talking about, or what the Lord's talking about, is false idols.
Yeah, you can't praise it, but like unless you like think it's meaning the hope of Jesus Christ, right? Or
Well, it's trusting in a false idol is something you trust to, or you worship, or you care more about than something else. Well, but see, they're not necessarily talking about the whole tree. And when they're talking about cutting it down, and he's carving it into false idols. Now, even if it was the whole tree what came in, even if that was the case, you know, if you care more about your Christmas tree than you do Jesus, you know, yes, it's beautiful and everything, but if you care more about that, then maybe we should worry. Maybe we should talk, right? But if it's just a decoration, you know, if you know that in your head, in your heart, that it's just a decoration, it's nice, it's just tradition, then maybe we don't need to worry. Right. Well, and it depends what we put into it. Like I said, if you're worshiping that, if you're worshiping the decoration, if you're, it's hard when you're a kid, if it's all about the gifts, if it's all about what I get, then, you know, as far as kids grow up, right? We grow up and we know that it's not just about the toys. Hopefully, right? Hopefully. In Romans chapter 14, 5 and 6. Noah, can you?
One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day, like let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes a day observes it to the Lord. And he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and gives God thanks.
All right. So this is confusing, but if you know what Paul is talking about, he's talking about back in the day is that they used to sacrifice idols to false gods. Right? So they sacrifice these animals in front of the temple, and it'd be like, oh, okay, this is to these foreign gods and everything. And then in the back, they would sell the meat to whoever wanted to do it, right? So, plus, you know, some people wanted to worship on Saturday, and some people wanted to worship on Sunday. You know, traditions changing. People not used to change. You know, you could even say that it's also observing days, is certain festivals, people want to do this, people want to do that. So to some, they knew that false idols did not mean anything. You know, it's a fake god. What does it mean? It doesn't mean anything to me. So they were okay with eating that meat. But there's others what worried about that. Well, it was sacrificed to them. I can't eat that because God doesn't want me to do anything with false idols. So it's that perception as far as, you know, what's in your heart? What do you worry about? So no matter what side of the aisle you're on, now we're not supposed to look down on the other side. Because if that will stop somebody from sinning, whether or not they eat that meat, or if they keep that certain tradition, or if they don't keep that certain tradition, if that's something what helps them, we shouldn't do, you know, we shouldn't scoff at them. But if they don't do that certain tradition, we shouldn't scoff at them either. You know, because when it comes right down to it, whether we keep that certain tradition or we don't keep that certain tradition, that is not what saves us. Jesus, you know, through Jesus, that's what saves us. So keeping what's important, important. And like I said, we don't know the exact date Jesus was born. But it could have been the 25th. We don't know. It could have been during summer. It could have been during spring. And yes, there was a pagan holiday in December. We know that. Now, we could look at it a couple different ways. Is that we could look at that they added Jesus to that holiday. And that it solely was pagan. Or we could look at Christmas was its own holiday. And he did a little smackdown on the pagan one, right? He went up on the turnbuckle and just, went down there, wrestled him, and he beat it, right? Christmas beat out the pagan holiday. You know, things change. Traditions change. You know, phones used to be stationary. You couldn't leave them out of your house. But now you can take them anywhere you want, right? Probably a flying car. This would be cool. That'd be cool.
I didn't even know about a cell phone itself. It wasn't in our brains.
Right, until after high school. That's when cell phones started. It's like, what? And then... Right? And plus, the military's been using... they usually get the technology first. They've had video conference calls for way longer than FaceTime and everything, but it's crazy. Actually, things changing is that, ever hear of Xmas?
Yeah.
Right?
The Christ out of Christmas.
Right. That's the typical thought, is that, they're trying to take the Christ out of Christmas. But actually,
it's just a cross turned a little bit.
Actually, in Greek, X would be the first letters of CHR. So X is actually Christ. X means Christ. In Greek. So if you actually know that, they actually aren't. They actually aren't taking Christ out of Christmas. It is, but if you have to know that fact, right? So it's just abbreviation. But things change. People don't know that. They forget these things. Is it a big deal that you don't know it? It's fine, because it seems simpler just to write out Christmas, because then everybody knows what you're talking about, right? But a little fun fact. Regardless if Christ wasn't born 25th or not, it is commonly known that Christians celebrate his birthday December 25th, right? I think more people know Christians celebrate Jesus' birthday during Christmas, then they think about, pagans 1,500 years ago, they started this holiday, right? I think they focus more on that. If you think about it, people that don't regularly come to church, they're more likely to come to two different church services. That's Christmas Eve and Easter. Right? Because they know that has to do, those seasons have to do with God. So I tend to think, I like to think of cups half full, not half empty. I like to think, no, Christmas was its own holiday, right? And it just changed the world. It changed just like Jesus changed the world. It changed from paganism, just like everything we've been talking about. It changed that to mean point to Jesus. So we need to know that this season is about Jesus coming to earth as a baby child, right? Just a little tiny baby. Yo, he experienced the same thing we have. He knows what we go through because he went through the same thing. You know, he is born to save this world. Whether you trim trees or you don't trim trees, Jesus came to save us. That is the reason for Christmas. You know, we can have hope, or we need to have hope in something more than the cold in the dead world. And that's what Jesus gives us. He gives us hope. In John 8, verse 12, Stephen, can you read that?
And Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.
So Jesus is the light, right? Therefore, go and reflect that light onto others. I'll close this in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Just